Thank you for tuning in. Our next presenter is Peter Pascali, CEO and Chairman of the Board of PyroGenesis. Mr. Pascali, you may begin.
Thank you very much, Jess. And thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining me here today. My name is Peter Pascali, and I am the CEO and Chairman of the Board of PyroGenesis Canada.
Peter.
Yeah. And PyroGenesis Canada, Inc. We are a high-tech company that is listed on the TSX under the symbol PYR, also on the OTCQB under the symbol PYRNF, and Frank Crawford under the symbol 8PY. And for those of you don't know, we have recently applied to list on the NASDAQ, which we think we will be in Q1 of this year. I want to wish you all, before we continue, a very merry, happy new year. And as I have been telling people recently, may your pious aspiration for the new year be the least of your accomplishments. There's a forward-looking statement here that I would ask you to look at your comfort later on. PyroGenesis, and what do? We use something called plasma. Plasma, without sounding too Star Trek-ish, is the fourth state of matter. Your science school teacher may have described to you three states of matter, solids, liquids, and gases, and has provided an example of a solid as being an ice cube. And if you warm up an ice cube, heat up an ice cube, it becomes a liquid. The next phase, if you heat up a liquid, in this case water, it becomes steam, a gas. Well, if you heat up a gas even further, it becomes a plasma. The majority of the world is plasma. The sun is a plasma ball. Lightning is a plasma. So we did not invent it, but we use many our processes. And how we do that, the picture on the right there, is our plasma torches. We take the plasma and we put it into a torch, and we use these torches in our processes to transform materials with these plasma torches. Over the past 25 years, we've developed into a world leader in commercialized advanced plasma technologies. We have over 110 patents to our name, over 70 employees, and operate out of a 38 square facility, and arguably have one of the largest concentrations of plasma expertise under one roof anywhere in the world. And we've focused ourselves on providing large-scale, profitable greenhouse gas emission reduction offerings. We began over 20 years ago, and one of our claims to fame was having been asked by the U.S. military, particularly U.S. Navy, to provide them with an alternative to that being considered onboard the aircraft carriage to destroy waste, the shipboard waste. At the time, they were throwing it overboard, and Congress had mandated that they were not allowed to throw it overboard anymore. And they're looking for alternatives, and some of the options on the board were, on the table were, systems that weighed over 100 tons and went through three decks of aircraft carrier. You can imagine this is the most expensive real estate in the world, where every inch and pound is called for. So they're looking at some other viable alternatives. And at the end of the day, to make a long story short, we became the product of choice, and we're actually in the design of the U.S. aircraft carrier. The current design, we are in the design of it. So when they go and order aircraft carriers, they'll typically come to us and ask us to provide them with a system. We've already delivered two systems to them, one in 2011 and one in 2016, and we just signed an additional contract for two systems for about $11.5 million last September. This essentially validated our large-scale commercial capabilities, as well as gave us credibility because we proved ourselves out with a very discerning client. Over the ensuing years, we effectively have developed four main business offerings. One I'll describe is iron ore pelletization. The other is aluminum dross recovery. The other is waste treatment, which I alluded to was our origins, and also metal powders for 3D printing or additive manufacturing. Each one of them are very large, have very large market needs, you'll see. You'll also see that there's essentially one core competency binding them all together. That's our plasma competency, our plasma technology experience and knowledge. When you look at us, you may say, what are they doing? Are they doing 3D printing? Are they doing torches? Are they doing environment? If we were offering tires, we'd offer it to bikes, cars, buses, and bikes. We would not get involved in upholstery. We would not get involved in braking systems. So you have to understand that we are basically a plasma-based company providing our offerings to distinct marketplaces, which arguably de-risk us, because if one particular industry is slowing down for one reason or another, oftentimes the other legs on the stool will keep the company going. What you'll also find, hopefully by the end, and I understand by the end of the presentation, that each one of these business lines has to some degree been vetted and adopted by multi-billion dollar industry leaders. And this is key, because although you have to do your own due diligence, you can take some comfort from the fact that others have gone before you with a lot more at stake and have put their reputation and their money behind our offerings. Let's talk about the first offering, iron ore pelletization, and what Pyrogenesis offers there. Effectively, iron ore pelletization is just another way of describing concentrating iron ore at the mine, at the source, to enable it to be easily transported thereafter. What's interesting is that in iron ore pelletization, they use something called diesel burners or fossil fuel burners. Burners that use fossil fuels and are damaging to the environment because they give off greenhouse gas emissions. Each plant can take up to, you know, as many as 50 burners, diesel burners, to operate, and sometimes these facilities have, you know, up to a dozen plants. So a significant number of diesel burners. What Pyrogenesis has done is they've demonstrated that you can replace those diesel burners with a clean burning plasma torch and effectively reduce greenhouse gas emissions to zero. Well, at least with respect to the emissions coming off of the plasma torch. Very superior environmentally. They also, we believe, because we're now just putting them in the marketplace, may very well have a very significant improvement in the actual process itself, the production process. So how did we came upon this particular opportunity was that in Sweden, about a year and a half ago, I can't recall exactly the date, as part of their strategic goal as a country to go to zero carbon emissions, they targeted the iron ore pelletization and specifically diesel burners to see what they could do to mitigate the environmentally damaging impact those diesel burners have. And plasma torches was an option. So we entered into a $1 million contract with a Swedish company that was looking at the possibility of doing that and the impact. To make a long story short, we came out with it was extremely successful. And our goal, and I'll be honest with you, for those people in the audience, I'll be honest with you, our goal was essentially just to be considered in the country, in Sweden's strategy to replace diesel burners with plasma torches. We were not aware of the significant need in the iron ore pelletization industry, the great need in the industry in and of its own. Because of the news that came out of that success, iron ore pelletizers took notice and started knocking on our door because, unbeknownst to us, they had significant pressure to have solutions to reduce their greenhouse gas, their carbon footprint. And oftentimes, as you can understand, assume, a lot of these strategies end up being more expensive to these companies because they're trading out something that they've traditionally done with something oftentimes more expensive to to meet greenhouse gas emissions. In this particular case, when you're replacing a diesel burner in iron ore pelletization with our plasma torch, it's very simple. First of all, it's a very simple operation. It's basically a plug and play. What's very interesting is you do not have to shut down operations. So you can continue operating while you're changing out your diesel burners with plasma torches and continue operating, no lost income. And on top of it, it may actually improve your process. Anyway, having said that, a lot of benefits: reduce greenhouse gases, iron ore pelletizers, under a lot of stress from investors, from their board, and from financial institutions. We found that there are many financial institutions that are tying their lending facilities to these iron ore pelletizers, meeting some sort of greenhouse gas reduction schedule. So after the success in Sweden, we were approached by iron ore pelletizers, and we entered into some modeling contracts, computer modeling contracts, which were specific to their particular facility. They just wanted to tick the box, make sure and confirm what we all suspected, that by using our plasma torch in their facility, there wouldn't be any surprises. So we've publicly announced relationships with clients A, B, and C. We don't name them for competitive reasons, and that we've moved along with the modeling contracts. And we've also recently announced that we've signed a $1.8 million contract with client A for one plasma torch to replace a fossil fuel burner. Again, to just take a look, see, make sure nothing untoward is happening, and to quantify all aspects of actually using it in their facility before they go change out a significant number of fossil fuel burners. The potential need for replacing their fossil fuel burners from clients A, B, and C, and we're just talking about three of many other potential clients in the industry, is over 1,000 torches. And we estimate that we're targeting a $3 million net present value to the company from these torch sales. The total market, just from the iron ore pelletization industry, we estimate to be around $10 billion, which is quite significant. And this is the industry where, I don't know if I mentioned, we have a patent for. So we have a patent that protects us in this industry where we use plasma torches to replace fossil fuel burners. We also have, we believe, first mover advantage in other industries, the cement, steel, aluminum, and automotive, where we have a first mover advantage in those particular industries. Moving along to the second line, which is aluminum dross, which is also gaining a lot of attention these days. In aluminum dross recovery, we use a system called DrossRite. It's our patented technology. Our new technology is patent pending still. Our old one is patent expired. What's happening here essentially is when aluminum comes off aluminum smelter, and it comes in contact with oxygen, it forms something called a dross. And a dross is not wanted. It sucks up the aluminum. So what they do is they skim it off and put it in that aluminum, in that dross, there's a valuable aluminum. So they send it off-site, typically to somebody who uses a salt rotary kiln to recuperate that valuable metal and send it back to the facility, to the smelter. Now, salt rotary kiln, I mentioned, is what's used. That's key. Salt, you don't want salt to come in contact with a smelter because it'll contaminate the batch, which is why you have to send it off-site. So what we did was we developed a system that doesn't use salt. It's called DrossRite. It's here. A picture is on the right-hand side. And you see this code down here in the corner. If you can get this, will send you to a YouTube video of it in operation, and I leave that to you to do it at your leisure. So essentially what we do is we slap it right up against the facility, we process the aluminum, the dross hot, we recover it hot, we send it back hot. So what it does is it reduces the necessary to cool down the draws, transport it off to a third party, heat it up, process it, cool it down, transport it, heat it up, put it back in. What we do here is, essentially we do here is, this is the traditional process where, as I said, costly transportation, low metal recovery, hazardous residue. In a draw rate system, it's lower OPEX, a lower carbon footprint, clean residue. So what happened in this particular industry back in 2016, we got our first order for about $600K. Interestingly enough, from the second order we got from the same client just a few months later, basically the same system, $1 million. We made money on this one. Then we had a two-system order. And then what happened in 2019 was that the biggest order for draw strike processing that we know of in history came out for about a seven-system order. Everybody and their uncle were bidding on it. Our technology won it. So we won an order in 2019 for a $20 million, plus $20 million order, plus recurring revenue over the next 18 years for maintenance contracts. This was huge because it put us front and center. It gave us a lot of credibility, a multi-billion dollar facility, embraced our technology. It was quite an accomplishment. What we've done is we've teamed up with the toller, with the group that was providing the services. So we ended up being inside the fence, and we call that the golden ticket. Why the golden ticket? Because now we are inside the fence, and we can see different opportunities from inside the fence. And if you go back to the previous slide here, you'll see that the clean residue that's produced here is where traditionally draw strike processing ends. This clean residue is either landfilled or uses a cement additive. Well, we've identified a way to turn this into a high value added specialty, various chemicals, ammonium sulfite and aluminum sulfite being two examples. So we're finding that not only are we moving forward very quickly in two very big business segments, but we're also finding, as a result, significant future opportunities for technology expansion. The third offering, is waste treatment. I mentioned to you where the U.S. military was how we started out. It was with the U.S. Navy developing a waste treatment system, a waste destruction system using plasma on an aircraft carrier, which is tough to do because it's not just tough to do to develop a system that destroys waste properly. It's tough to do it at sea, and it's tough to do it to U.S. Navy specs. Well, we did it, and what we've done here is, this is not a low-hanging fruit like the other ones are, but we are pursuing interesting land-based applications here. I call boardroom waste. You know, there's some boardrooms that wanted to take care of their waste inside the fence, and those we're pursuing on a case-by-case basis, and you'll probably hear more about that later on in 2021. But right now, we're concentrating on our U.S. military relationship, where we have already written an $11.5 million contract for two additional systems. There's up to 10 more supercarriers projected to be ordered. And we typically get about $2 million a year in after-sales service from our relationship with the U.S. military. The fourth avenue, offering that has been in the background for some time is our ability to produce powders for the 3D printing industry. We make very spherical metal powders. These are three torches, and typically what we do, we'll take a wire, it'll impinge, the torch will impinge on the wire, and at the bottom we'll find some very small spherical powders. We believe our technology is being used today as the gold standard. Our old technology is being used as a gold standard. What we did was we took our old technology recently and we improved it so that it has significantly higher output, 25 kilograms versus 10 to 12 kilograms an hour, and significant lower OPEX. The interesting story in additive manufacturing still remains our relationship over to Duval, which is a part of the Aramet group of companies in Europe, a multi-billion-dollar group who service the aerospace industry in Europe. We established an exclusive arrangement over to Duval where they would sell our powders, our titanium powders, to the European market exclusively, and they would only buy from us. What's interesting is, our understanding is that this is the first, our agreement with them was the first time in their 100-year history that Aramet has sold something they don't own, which again speaks to the credibility of our offering in this industry. This was held up a bit because we wanted to incorporate our improvements in production before we actually froze the production line and offered it to the product to end users. So there was some delay there. However, we're doing that as we speak. We're putting that production line in place. There's a lot of anxious people waiting for us to deliver a product. We expect that 2021 will be the coming out, finally, of our prouder offering, and there'll be more to hear about that. Financial inflection point. Our financial results, no matter how you cut them, it seems like either it's revenues, gross margin, EBITDA, modified EBITDA, comprehensive income, gross margin percent, seem to be all on the up inflection point, and for good reason. Our backlog has increased from about $7 million in the middle of last year, no, 2020, to just under $40 million this year. We have a lot of irons in the fire, a lot of discussions taking place to continue this trend. This has also been reflected in our stock price. Recently, 362, I think today's at around 370. Our market cap is over $500 million. Shares outstanding, cash on hand, we've talked in a press release of being over $17 million. We effectively have no debt on our balance sheet. We've paid off all our debts. Why did this take place over the past 15 months, people may ask? And just quickly, it was a coming together of a number of things, but one, you cannot discount COVID and people being locked down. They paid more attention to our press releases. They figured out what we were doing, and it's shown in our share price and our market cap. I'll just skip over our experienced board. You can look back at this later for the sake of time. We're positioned right now to drive near and long-term shareholder value. We've got proprietary technology. It's been vetted and adopted by multi-billion dollar companies. We've got fully commercialized systems right now, solutions being marketed in four massive unaddressed market opportunities. We've got a long tail of additional market applications, such as the one I mentioned to you in DrawStrike. And our momentum and backlog is expected to continue to drive our near-term profitability. And shown here pictorially are four main business lines flowing over into some opportunities with significant some offerings with significant opportunities. I did not talk to our silicon and our battery offerings being developed with HPQ silicon. I talked a bit about our DrawStrike, and it was just so overflowing with opportunities. I did not even have time to talk about our tunneling opportunities with torches. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is the presentation today. It's a lot to digest in 30 minutes or 20 minutes, and I appreciate your time and patience. And I'll take the last few minutes to try and speak to a couple of the questions that have been posed here. Let me see. Thank you very much, Steve. Everything's good here. Let's see. Last Q, you had EPS of 10 cents, but mostly because of our investment in HPQ, taking out that along with stock compensations, would your EPS be more along the lines of between 2 and 3 cents? I think so. I'd have to check on that, Jack. Just go and look at that and back out the, I think it would be about three, Yeah, I think you might be right. I'd have to check on that exact number. Can you discuss recent patents, steel process efficiencies, business opportunity, other industries? Steve, I think I have touched upon that a bit. I can't discuss anything that with respect to patents that we haven't publicly disclosed. We haven't, having said that, everything is going according to schedule. We haven't been nixed on anything. We haven't been shut down on anything. And we don't see any impediments. Haven't had an update on powder manufacturing in a long time. We'll try and get you an update shortly, in the next couple of maybe month or so. I believe you're going to hear a lot about powder and our 3D printing in 2021. In fact, I'm almost sure of it. Why is it a big deal that DrawCut is salt-free? Well, I touched upon that a bit, Daniela. Because salt is not wanted on the aluminum site because it contaminates the smelter. In slide 6, you left out tunneling as application. We're using our torch. You said, can you talk a little bit about that just real quickly? We're using our torch with a company to tunnel. Not much more to talk about that. And it's very exciting. I'm extremely excited about that one as well. It's got a lot of interesting opportunities that go beyond tunneling. During this pandemic, we have seen the remains of business we learned. We'll skip that one. Why is it taking so long to make sales of pelletization units in our industry, especially in Sweden with the Bennett's and all the others? Okay, very interesting. You know, for you, Jeff, I mean, other people, I can understand. You're sitting there, you know, you make a decision at home. You want to do something, you do it, it gets done. I like to point out that, you know, even if you want to sell a house, it takes, you know, at least 3 months to sell a house. But the paperwork, you know, getting the I's dotted, the T's crossed, just to sell a house, it takes 3 months, sometimes more. In my opinion, I believe it's been going lightning fast. We're talking about multi-billion dollar companies that usually are extremely slow in moving. I mean, large companies are typically slow. And the larger they are, the slower they seem to be. We've gone from, 18 months ago, having success in Sweden, to today, having gone through a number of discussions with a number of potential clients, gone through modeling, completed the modeling, gone through a torch sale. I mean, you can't go much faster than that with these guys. You know, when you take it and compare it to selling a house, I think you'd agree with me. Although I'd love it to go faster, and I'm sure you would, I want to get to the end of the game quickly. It just takes time. Big companies have to check boxes, have to confirm, reconfirm. You know, they may have the money, and they may be rich, and they may have the money actually to dedicate to greenhouse gas reduction, but they have to go through a formal process to allocate it to this particular process. And, you know, we did come along with a bit of a surprise. So everybody else is working. You know, they're busy working on other projects. And we have been important enough that they've moved heaven and earth to get us to where we are today. And I got to argue that this thing is not taking so long. It's actually very quickly. What are the one to two things investors should look for in 2021? I think some of the most exciting things, Bobby, are what we're doing, continuing to do. We're cashed up. We don't have debt. We have great partners, multi-billion dollar partners. Everything to me is extremely exciting. So to pick one or two would be difficult. It would almost be like Sophie's Choice, pick one or two. I think we're going to have the same continuing in all our business lines, and I think you're going to find a lot more exciting news coming out of additive manufacturing. Look, it's going to be challenging. It's a challenging year already. Look what's happened the first 6 days, and we've got all sorts of crazy things happening. There's going to be challenges both outside the company, the normal business platform playing field has its own challenges. But I'm going to tell you what, Bobby, I can guarantee you one thing. We at Pyrogenesis, we have a very unique team. We're extremely dedicated. We're passionate about what we're doing. And if a problem comes up, we're going to deal with it. We're going to deal with it. We're going to try and solve it. That's all we can do. The same thing we've been doing for the past 20-plus years, We're just going to continue doing, except now we have we're cashed up and we have no debt. Ladies and gentlemen, I think our time has come to an end. I really appreciate the time you've given to me today to let me share my story with you, and I hope at least you'll put us on on Google Alert and follow us, get to know us a bit, get to understand what we do, and then enjoy the ride. Thank you very much. All the best.
Thank you, Mr. Pascali. This concludes the webcast. Thank you for participating.